Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vanta automates compliance for global frameworks like ISO 27001 and SOC 2, and the latest European frameworks like the EU AI Act, DORA, and NIS 2, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Over 8,000 global companies like Synthesia, Flow Health, and Cora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Wondery listeners get a special offer of $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/wondery. That's vanta.com/wondery for $1,000 off. Audible brings your wildest adventures to life, delivering heart-pounding thrills at the touch of a button. Take Richard Osman's The Thursday Murder Club, where four retirees turned amateur sleuths solve crimes in the most unexpected ways, brilliantly performed by Leslie Manville. Ready to unleash your adventurous side? From pulse-racing suspense to epic quests, from supernatural chills to far-off romances, every story comes alive through world-class narration. Explore exclusive Audible originals, chart-topping new releases, and unforgettable bestsellers that transport you from the very first word. Because the next great adventure is just a listen away. Start your free 30-day trial at audible.com/WonderyUK. That's audible.com/WonderyUK.
Oh, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie, and that's Ben. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the finale day for Top Chef. Everybody, we are going to have our own finale day for the Mounting Hysteria Tour live in Los Angeles this Thursday, June 19th at the Fonda Theater in Hollywood. Come over and see us, okay? It's the last time we're ever going to do it again this year. So come see us. We're going to be recapping the Valley. Also, we're doing Love Island every day that we record, which is three or four times a week over on our Patreon. So if you're a Love Island person, be my person at our Love Island Patreon recaps. That's really fun. If you want to watch all our recaps and bonus episodes, you can do so at Patreon as well. If you want free videos of our regular episodes, you can find those on YouTube a week after they are released. Okay. So let's talk some Top Chef. How'd you feel?
Well, felt good. I mean, it was pretty much the way I expected it to.
It's pretty good.
There is some Top Chef news, Top Chef adjacent news, by the way, which is that last week, NBC Universal Peacock announced the cast for the upcoming season of The Traitors, which I was very happy included like five Real Housewives, including the return of Dorinda Medley. Love that. Lisa Rinna, I think she'll be great. Portia, great choice. Candace, we predicted, great. There's a fifth one. I don't remember who it was, but very happy with whoever it was. I just don't remember who it was off the top of my head. Oh, you know, I don't remember who. Do you remember who the fifth one was? Well, we think about that. The reason I'm bringing it up is because Kristen Kish wound up as a cast member for The Traitors. How do you feel about that, Ronnie?
I'm excited to see it.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
I mean, yes, I am. I just think it's like a weird choice. And this is not an anti-Kristen thing. This is just more like, it's kind of funny to have a host of like Top Chef is like in the world of, you know, fine dining. It's kind of like a prestige show for Bravo. And I don't know, to me, it's kind of funny that they're having a host now going back down to contestant level on a show that's like sort of trashier. Like, it's surprising to me because it's kind of a risk, right? That they could have like their host be on this show of accusation and everything. So I just was very surprised that they chose Kristen, but at the same time, it kind of makes sense because most likely the show will air from January until through the end of February or March. And that's probably when the next season of Top Chef is going to start. So it's a good way to probably promote Top Chef, but it was still like, it was an odd casting choice to me.
Well, it's odd because she's not a huge personality, you know, but I'm excited to see what her personality is like in that environment for sure.
Yeah, it could be very interesting.
What if she's like really bitchy and mean? I would love that.
I would love that. I would love that more than anything. She's probably gonna be like, I don't want to have to accuse you of this, but honestly, I'm sorry. I think you're a traitor. I think there'll be a lot of that.
She'll be like, I was in episode one, so here on episode two, I can tell you how difficult episode one was. And just as someone who's done this before, I'll tell you, it's not easy. This is not the easiest part of my day. So the housewives are Portia Williams, Caroline Stanbury, Candace Bassett, Lisa Rinna, and Dorinda Medley is getting another chance, which is crazy. And watch them get rid of her first again.
I won't be surprised. I will riot. They better not. I think this is great because last season there were only three housewives and now we have five. So there's like some insurance that they make sure that there's like some housewives that will last for a little bit. Part of me, I hope that they do something where they protect Dorinda, where either they could either make her a traitor, but I honestly think that Dorinda will be best as a faithful, but maybe they'll do something where she comes in late in the cage the way Rob Mariano did or whatever. But anyway, I just had to bring that up because I just thought it was so surprised that they put Kristen on this cast. It just felt like a different, like, the world of like Top Chef and the traitors did not seem like they were intersecting to me, but I guess we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I'm down for it. I'm down to see what that's about. And also I'm down for them to bring Padma on. Maybe if they open up that door, we can get a little hello. Hello, Padma chefs. She just shows up at every round table like, hello, chefs. I really didn't like the lamb tonight. Like,
I don't think we should be murdering anyone. I think this is wrong. Like, Padma's the game. I'll tell you what's a good game. Checkers. I play it with my dear friend, Lena Waithe.
All right. So here we are with Top Chef season finale. It's the final. It's all on the line, guys. And Bailey is the first one. She's like, oh, my God, Top Chef is no joke. It's like the hardest thing I've ever done. Do I even belong here? Oh, God. I've learned to trust all the weird thoughts that I have, like lasagna today.
Well, I wrote down my plan for the finale and then I bruleed it and now I can't read it anymore, but I feel like it was good, what I can remember of it. And then we have Shuai, who's like, well, I wanted to compete on Top Chef just for my business and for my grandma, and we're horribly in debt. Grandma's in debt too, and I didn't expect the competition to reawaken my grandma, but she's awake now and she's hungry, so I've got to cook for my grandma now.
I sold my grandma to get the plane ticket to come to this show. And now
my grandma says,
buy my grandma back, or I'm never gonna cook another thing because I only cook for grandma.
And then Tristan is like, chefs don't always get the acknowledgement that they necessarily deserve, but being on this experience is really special because I've been shown my point of view through creativity, and it's been a really great, long, extremely emotional ride since losing my father, Russell. I'm working on his determination, and now I'm just going to bust my ass even more. And if you try to make fun of me, I'm just going to remind you, my dad died during this, and you can't make fun of me because of that. Because it's too mean.
Can't make fun of me. So Bailey's like, this is insane. We're like looking at the Last Supper painting together, and it is the Last Supper. And I just wonder, did Jesus eat lasagna?
I just feel like this is such an important lesson, which is that we could be throwing our food at the wall. It could be considered art right now. Why aren't we doing that? I'm just going to brulee this painting if no one minds.
Yeah. She's like, you know, I mean, this has been done a million times, the Last Supper. And so that makes me think of my food. It's just stuff that's been done a million times, but, you know, you got to get quirky with it. You know, Jesus, I don't know, he had long hair and liked, you know, carbs, made bread for people. So I don't know. I'm really trying to tie this Last Supper thing to my own life. Quirky, just like Jesus. And Shuai's like, you know, Leonardo da Vinci had a grandmother. And,
he literally does link it. He literally says, he's like, hold on every second. Guys, I've got something I've got to say about Leonardo da Vinci. you know what? He made something spectacular that's lasted through generations. And that's how I feel about food. All these things I'm taking from my mom, my grandma, I'm like, wow, it's amazing. Fun fact, my grandma was the Mona Lisa. Sorry, everyone. Sorry to keep that secret for so long. I just didn't want to be judged by having a super famous painting grandma, but that's the truth. She did it. She's Mona Lisa.
Yeah. So he's like, I can't wait to share my food to the world of Top Chef, Grandma. That's my grandma legacy, Grandma.
So then Tristan is reflecting on the fact that Judas is the antagonist of the painting and is also the only one who is dark skinned, and how stereotyping has been around for a long time. And so that's why it's his mission to increase the value of black food across the world. And he's ready for this. So they are like, wow, great painting. So Kristen then shows up and she's like, good morning, chefs. Congratulations on making
it. I'm sorry to interrupt you. It's just funny to think about, because basically they look at it. They all look at the grant. They all look at the last painting. And Bailey is like, quirky. It's quirky. And Shwai is like, grandma. And Tristan's like, Judas. I never even knew the thing about Judas. That's pretty fucked up, actually. I never even knew that about the painting. Did you? I don't know who all the people in the painting are. I'm more of like a star-centered person. So I just look at Jesus. Everybody else, I'm just like, why are those people like, leave Jesus alone. Can the man have a meal? Everyone's like, Jesus, Jesus. Rah, rah, rah. He's like, can I eat? I haven't eaten all fucking day. I just spent 40 days walking through a desert not eating anything. And you guys aren't going to let me have my last fucking supper? Are you fucking kidding me with this?
I was just like, I don't know who these people are. It's like, I don't know. It's like a dinner party somewhere. So where's Anna Garten?
Yeah.
So Kristen's like, good morning. By the way, them staring at this painting was about 15 minutes long. They're like, well, we've got an hour and 15 minutes to watch three people cook something. So let's stretch it out. So,
well, that is Kristen's always like, the curse of the Top Chef finale, isn't it? They're like, okay, everything that you said this season, just kind of get your shtick and just repeat that over and over. So Bailey's like, quirky, insecure, grandma, grandma, grandma.
I do it for the children.
You know, someday I want to paint a painting, but it'll be my second to last dinner because that's kind of a little quirkier. Okay. So,
well, we were going to have Gail paint her version of The Last Supper, but unfortunately, we don't know how to paint never.
Hi, this is Ghost Padma. I was alive until very recently when Ghost Judas ran me over with his Ghost BMW X7. What a great vehicle.
You know what's funny? I'm just sitting here in heaven with Leonardo da Vinci talking about The Last Supper. You know, he said he meant that to be a lighthearted romp. Why are you all taking it so seriously?
So I was talking to Leo, that's what I call him, because we're like friends now. And he said, you guys are taking this way too seriously. This was just an ad for Olden Times Nutrisystem, The Last Supper.
He was the first influencer of heaven.
Haven't you seen his selfie? Jeez. So Kristen comes out and she's like, congratulations on making it to the finale. One of you is going to walk away with a grand prize of $250,000 furnished by Saratoga Springwater. I'm just want you to know, I had some Saratoga the other day. It was delicious, but the bottle's empty and it was a beautiful moment. And I've been in your shoes before, being thirsty, wanting some water. So good luck. Good luck to you all.
Wow, so sad for your season that you only have Saratoga. Up here in heaven, Leo's drinking Pellegrino.
I heard that Gail can't get into many parties because she often shows up as Galatoga. Am I right? Let's go get a dress.
Saratoga, otherwise known as Gail's dress designer. So today's challenge is to make a 4-course progressive meal of your life. We want rights across the board. I want all of your, I want abortion rights served to me.
Oh, progressive.
I want health care for everybody in an appetizer form.
Yeah, you know what? Because Da Vinci's creativity knows no limits. And that's why we want to see from you today and your final meal of the season. So you see what we did there? We had a tenuous link to Da Vinci And a challenge on Top Chef. Da Vinci knows no limits, almost like astronauts. When they go to the moon, they also know no limits. Tom, that was from 2 seasons ago. Give it up already. It didn't make sense now, and it doesn't make sense now. I mean, didn't make sense then or now. God, I can't believe I flubbed my words right in front of Da Vinci.
So to help you prepare and cook your final meals, we've asked you to choose your sous chef. And in walk, Lana, Paula, and Zubair. I hope you're planning on making some spicy fried chicken, because that's Zubair's thing. I will never forget Zubair's thing, because remember when he made his like amazing spicy chicken Chicago winning best sandwich of all time, mm-hmm. and then he went home like the next week. He's like, I won! I finally used my fried chicken recipe! And they're like, and now you can go, Zubair. Leonardo DiCaprio hated your follow-up dish to your spicy chicken. Goodbye.
You're a one-trick pony, I'm sorry. And I say that as someone who's friends with Annie Get Your Gun Lady.
So Lana is saying, I'm back. This is awesome. I mean, if I can't be here myself in the finals, then it's literally the most perfect next best thing is to be here for Bailey to overcook her final dish. I'm so excited.
I can't wait to ruin her fish. And Shwai, why'd you choose Paula? And he's like, you know, because I've just thought about her ever since Restaurant Wars. You know how much she sacrificed for all of us. And I just wanted someone like that by my side. Today I plan on making something with possibly a sauce that consists of unchopped almonds.
He's like, you know, Paula, she does such great work, and she's got these children, and just made me realize that maybe someday she'll be a grandma, like my grandma. So anyway, she's gonna be my grandma today. She's like, yes, I got you. I'm your grandma now. Kristen's like, and okay.
Tristan picked Zubair because he is one of the only people who would get the spices. And so he's like, so we're going to get the flavor down. Okay, well, now that you've got your sous chefs and, oh, a jar of pickles. Thank you so much, Lana. That's so nice. It's from my pickle fridge.
American Airlines did not want me to keep it as carry-on, but I insisted it was a service refrigerator. I got a doctor's note.
They have €2,000 to shop at a variety of local markets, followed by 5 hours of prep and cook.
And then tomorrow, you'll have an additional 2 hours to prep and cook before service begins at Michelin star restaurant, Cracko.
Cracko. Named after Gail's backside. Wow, pull up your jeans, am I right?
Named after Gail when she steps into Ross. I'm like, watch out, here comes Cracko. Clear the aisles. She's pulling everything off the rack.
Gail standing up on the bus. Whoa, release the Cracko.
You'll be serving us judges and an impressive lineup of guest diners, including the owner of restaurant Cracko and mystery star chef Carlo Cracko. Chef and star owner of Santo Palato in Rome, also Carlo Cracko, and also the owner, the host of Italian Wheel of Fortune, Carlo Cracko. Wow.
The inventor of one of the most famous candies in Italy, Cracker Crackos. Cracker Cracko.
The inventor of the beloved 1960s board game Racco, it's Carlo Cracko. Wow.
And, you know, we know we're missing the disappointment on Padma's face this year. R.I.P. Padma.
Thanks, Tom. Leonardo DiCaprio says if you had a wig, you could be in The Last Supper.
Okay, that's enough of that. But we know that you've all been missing the disappointment in Padma's voice, so we've brought back 3 Michelin star chef, Claire Smith, to be disappointed all over again.
Wow, Claire, how does it feel to be named after a boutique for little girls?
Disappointing. How do you think it feels? I love Claire. It's just like, I was delicious. Like, you liar. Why do you keep saying things are delicious? You look like you want to spit it out, Claire. And that's what I love about Claire.
I know. She's the best. She's like, this was absolutely delicious and life-changing. For raccoon, get it out of my face.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So Tristan is going to do a progressive African or Afro-Caribbean cuisine and a little history lesson as well.
Delicious. Mmm, sounds delicious. I love history. One time I ate Christopher Columbus.
One time Gail went to the library and ate all the history books in there. That was a lesson that she learned on the toilet for weeks. So Shuai's
like, yeah, I have a grasp on what I want to do. I'm going to do Chinese techniques and dishes that I feel like have influenced me by my grandma. I'm going to do something like, quirky.
I'm going to keep it quirky.
Yeah, I'm going to be quirky.
Quirky about Bartokomus.
My appetizer is going to be called, do I even belong here? I'm going to make a dessert for my appetizer so it feels really awkward. And people are like, what is this doing here? I get it, tiramisu. I get it.
The whole vibe is giro stravagante, which means eccentric turn in Italian. Wow, because Gail's whole vibe is giro in my mouth, eh? Especially when she goes to Little Greece.
I just want to be whimsical, so I'm gonna serve everything in Crocs.
Cut to Tarzan, the actor, still shaking in the corner, being like, she told me it looked like tiramisu, but it was savory.
So Bailey is telling Lana that she wants to feature different artisans and chefs that have influenced who I am. That sounds like a copycat meal. I'm not going to lie. And it is weird when she presents it. She's like, all right, well, this was my favorite chef, Boyardee, the spaghetti in shapes of letters. Enjoy, everybody.
This next soup, you'll notice that there are little UFOs and meatballs as asteroids. Thank you very much to my childhood. Enjoy.
Yeah, so Tristan gives us some history. He says that Italy tried to invade Ethiopia, so he wants to give a nod to that bit of history. Yum.
Delicious. So he's going to do something called Durango. Durango is short for Doro Wat, which is the national dish of Ethiopia. And then there's the northern Italian dish, southern French dish called chicken Marengo. So he's going to do it with oxtail. So it's going to be chicken Marengo meets Durango. And all I can think of is Casino Marengo. But that's on me.
It's like when Gail hasn't washed her hair for a week, you'd put your fingers through it and you say, what is this, meringue? Oh.
He's also going to do an oxtail Milanese.
I'm so glad you're doing a dish about when Italy tried to invade Ethiopia. Someone should try to do a dish about when Gail tried to invade Dress Barn.
I've got an idea. How about someone invades Gail with a comb?
So Tristan says risotto Milanese and ossobuco is a staple dish, so he's going to use oxtail, which is the poster child for Trinidadian cuisine.
And Shuai says, well, we're in Italy, so we have to do some pasta, right? So I'm going to make a grandma ravioli by grandma, but it's going to taste like soup dumplings, but it'll also taste like grandma. And the third course, I was doing research in Milan and I was thinking about ossobuco, and my mom makes this delicious tangu, which she must have learned from my grandma. So I'm going to do grandma pork ribs and with polenta grandma.
Yeah. I'm really thinking about my grandma today, so I'm going to make a pasta dumpling as big as a child. Small child. I don't really know how those things go together, but it's going to be big. It's going to be like a human head.
I'm going to make a ravioli, and on the inside is going to be a pork filling, and on the inside of the pork filling is going to be a little button, and you can press it and say, I've fallen and I can't get up. Just for grandma.
So, Bailey is going to do my second course. I'm going to do an Annolini Alpini, just because I like the sound of it. Annolini Alpini. So that's going to be fun. Do you think that sounds quirky enough? Do I belong here? Hey, if you could vote for me to win, would you vote for me to win, or would you just send me home right now? Okay, I'm leaving.
All right, the third course is going to be, quirk alert. Blackened redfish.
Oh my God, crazy. That is nuts.
It's black and it's red. Hey, what's black and white and red all over my dish falling down a staircase?
Get it?
All right.
Oh, I forgot the white part.
Now it's dessert time. It's part tiramisu, part zucca, like pasta, but it's made with Pizzelle cookies. What do you think of that? You like that? Is that stupid? I don't even know.
You know, I don't know if you know this, but the original name for Pizzelle cookies was Quirky Cookie. Yeah, it's a quirky. It's a pretty quirky dessert, Pizzelles.
So Tristan has a dessert. He calls it truffle roots. It's basically carrot cake without carrots. He uses parsnips instead. And then he's going to do a coconut milk veil on top.
Coconut milk veil? Okay.
Wow. What are we recreating? Gail's wedding?
Bride of Eatonstein. So, I mean, a parsnip cake instead of carrot cake. That's cool. I've seen it. I'm not saying it's original. I've seen it many times before. The thing that annoys me is the coconut milk veil. You know, Tristan, I really like Tristan. I'm rooting for him. But he does do very chefy things. Like when he's always like, I just want this to be kissed by the flame. He's definitely the sort of chef that's like, I'm making a soil. And now when he says a little coconut milk veil on top, oh, please.
Yeah.
It's coconut milk. It's a foam. That's probably because he doesn't want to say foam, so he's going to call it a veil.
Yeah, well, I'm glad he didn't call it a foam. I don't know that I love veil more, but I don't know what a coconut milk veil is. So, you know, part of that is my own ignorance.
I just get annoyed sometimes with the chefy things like this.
Yeah.
Joubert's like, that sounds amazing. I have no idea what any of that means, but sounds amazing.
And Schwei's like, well, I'm going to make one of my favorite desserts, ambrosia salad. And I was like, girl, that's from Luby's. That's a jello salad with some fruit in there. He's doing it. He's going for it. And Paula's like, yeah, I never would have thought you were like that. I mean, that's what grandmothers eat. Exactly. Exactly.
He's like, I feel like it's so me because it's trashy and it's something that's playful. I'm like, okay, so trashy while trying to win Top Chef. Sure, sounds like that will definitely work out.
Also, he keeps calling his food trashy. I don't find his food trashy. Is it offensive that he's calling his own food trashy? I don't like it. Be nicer to Schwei.
Stop that, Schwei. Stop it. Stop it. Stand tall in your ambrosia salad.
So they go shopping at the fish market, and Schwei's like, oh my God, this smells like ocean. That's the same thing I say every time I walk into Gail's closet to try and fix it.
That's what I say about Gail after she applies her deodorant, which, of course, as we all know, is a fresh red snapper.
Is it blackened? Shut up, Bailey. No one's talking to you, weirdo.
Just had a lot of quirk potential. So
so he's going to make...
By the way, for the record, yes, it is blackened. She has blackened deodorant.
I can't... Gail's black and red fish deodorant.
It's from the brand Sure, but you pronounce it like this. Sure, Gail.
So he's going to make a pan of puri. It's his favorite bite in the whole world. And his eyes are caught by the scarlet red shrimp. Oh my God, it's just glowing red. Give me that shrimp. And Bailey's like, yeah, I'm going to be making a pulpo-y-mots, nutrient-fully-mots.
You know, it will be this beautiful grilled octopus, you know, but I'm going to make sure all the octopus legs are sort of like going like, you know, because quirky octopus. And then mozzarella. I want the octopus to be doing like walk like an Egyptian. Remember that song? Because it's quirky.
Yeah, octopus and mozzarella. It's inspired by my first line cooking job at an izakaya style restaurant, Yusho. And people say, you know, you're not supposed to mix cheese and seafood together, but rules are meant to be broken sometimes. Food Network would murder you because the Food Network really hates that. I've never seen a network hate that more than the Food Network. And doesn't even crazy haired Richard, isn't he today like, hey guys, how do we feel about fish and seafood? Because I'm on Food Network most of the time. And by the way, I still have stupid hair. It's not a faux hawk anymore, but it's still incredibly stupid. I'm addicted to stupid hair. Thank you. It's my thing.
His hair is basically just a ramp. He now is like, I stand next to the buildings so that way people can get to the next floor.
I've literally never seen somebody so committed to like, this is my thing. Stupid hair. I'm Richard Blaze. Like, chef.
Like, who's giving him positive feedback about it? Who said that this is your thing? Like, it's just, it's always been terrible. And no one's ever been like, God, I love that quirky hair. Quirky. It's like never been good. But yeah, Food Network hates fish and cheese. I don't think fish and cheese is so verboten. I mean, like, people put clams on pizza. They put anchovies on. Like,
Tuna melts,
crab dip. I mean, I think fish and cheese, the McCormick and Schmick's
octopus has like and mozzarella doesn't sound good. I'll say that.
I'm open to it.
It's too much rubber, too much chew in the same thing. But
what if it's quirky?
Nothing. I know nothing.
What about a quirky octopus?
Mm. What about a quirky mozzarella?
What about a quirky mozzarella and a quirky octopus walk into a bar? And guess what happens? They're quirky together.
So Tristan is, his first course is going to be bacala mango, and he's on a hellbent mission to find really good quality cod. And he's like, that monkfish looks really good, so we can't ignore that. And, you know, he doesn't know really what he's going to do with that for now, but he's just basing it on ingredients. And one thing is for sure, he's going to call something a veil.
Yeah. One of those fish will come out with a coconut veil on it. So get ready. And then Schwa is saying how Bailey is such a beast. She's like the Italian queen. She makes Italian food that I've never seen done before because it's quirky. There, I said it. You know, Tristan weaves all these beautiful stories about his food with all the ingredients he uses. It's incredibly good. His is about like, oh, Italy invaded Ethiopia. And mine's kind of like, one time I went to Chipotle and I really liked the tortilla, so I'm making a quirky tortilla to go around this pasta. So his story is much better than my stories.
Turns out traumatic history is delicious, but is it quirky? I'll leave that up to the judges.
Pretty sure it's not that quirky.
So we get to the kitchen and Tristan breaks the cutting board and Shoai's like, whoa, calm down, Massimo. Male laugh. But you know, Tristan was like, you motherfucker, how dare you compare me to Massimo? So Shoai is going over his second course. He's going to make a pork and king crab soup dumpling ravioli. Kind of Chinese, kind of Italian. Might be awesome, or he'll never be allowed in either country ever again. We'll see.
Yeah, it's a lot. Like, that's his thing. Yeah. And so Paula's going to work on the ossobuco and everything. And then he Bailey says,
and guess what? My grandma used to make me sweet and sour pork rib. Okay, dude, let your grandma have a night off. You know what I mean? Is she sick of being dragged around this stage? Just leave her alone, bro.
Well, the second course for me is going to be Annalini Alpini, you know, quirk on quirk, right? With a porcini filled pasta with brown butter. Pecan. I was going to do regular butter pecan, but I think brown butter is quirkier. And this is a dish that draws inspiration from the mountains of Canada, which I think is a pretty quirky mountain range, those Canadian mountains, right? So
you know, we're going to do that. Canada has a mountain and there's a mountain in Italy. So if you have a Canada mountain and an Italy mountain, it totally makes sense in Italy.
Yeah. And then I'm going to do my next thing is it's going to be a nod to Sarah Grunenberg, who was on Top Chef.
It's a nod to Steve Gutenberg.
It's going to be Steve Gutenberg. It's called a Gutenberg Grunenberg. It's kind of like quirk on quirk.
People are going to see and go, wait a minute, do I recognize this? Where has this been? God, I haven't seen this since the 80s, but didn't even notice it was missing. Jeez.
I'm going to call the dish Three Men and a Little Lady, and the little lady will be me, but like made out of Annalini. Annalini Alpini, specifically.
Oh, okay. I remember this chick, Sarah Grunenberg.
Yeah.
I didn't remember her. I didn't know that's who she worked for.
I thought, I looked it up because I was like, oh, I thought it might have been Sarah, who was from Kentucky, who was actually on there earlier this season. And then it turns out it was just a different Top Chef contestant. But yeah, I don't remember anything about her, except I think I liked her.
I don't remember anything either. I remember her face, but I don't remember why. But I'm on her Instagram now, and it says Sarah Grunenberg, Listen to Your Vegetables, My First Cookbook. No, I don't want to listen to vegetables.
I listened to my vegetables last night. I knew what they said. Please don't eat me. Can I go back to the dirt?
My vegetables said, get a pizza. Also, my vegetables said.
My vegetables said, thanks for sticking me in the back of your non-crisper. Now I'm half frozen, half wilted. Thanks a lot, Dick.
Well, I'm going to make this in tribute to her because, you know, she likes to make blackened errata because of her upbringing in Houston, fishing with her grandfather. So basically, I'm just going to go ahead and cipher off memories from other people and call it quirk.
Tristan is now talking about how he's going to do his Durango, his Ethiopian Italian hybrid with the injera shrimp toast, and he's going to do his oxtail Milanese to pay tribute to the Caribbean and Milan. So, and then he puts in like a million hot spices and they all start joking. So Tom comes in, hey Bailey, what are you making? Please tell me it's not quirky. Guess what? Bad news. It's quirky. It's all about a quirk. I really wanted to create a menu that consists of all the people and places that have inspired me on my cooking journey. Okay. That sounds really boring. So you're going to do a dessert? And will the dessert actually be a savory dish? Because Tarzan wants to know.
Well, it's going to be a torta de pastel. I'm going to layer it with mascarpone, zucca filling, make a little ice cream. Okay, well, I'm bored. Okay, good luck. Bye. You're not winning this. You have no shot at this. But bye. It was good to see you here. Last chance kitchen, everybody. Watch it after this show. Usually, that's where she came from. No one cares. Okay, bye, baby. So Tristan is Hubert. So let's talk about your menu, okay? And Tristan says he normally gets discredited a lot trying to do his own stuff in his classical training spaces. So fuck it. He's doing it today.
He's like, I'm going to do a parsnip cake instead of a carrot cake. All right. Well, congratulations. The next winner of Top Chef is... Tristan, but Tom, too early. You've got to at least let them cook their foods. All right, fine.
Okay, well, I'll let you guys get back to it. Hold on, Bailey, did I talk to you already? Your dad. Want to do it again? I don't. Wow, that was a good brain. My brain trying to help me out there, and I just won't let it work. Okay, so let's go talk to Shwai. Shwai, what about your grandma? Well, my grandma. Okay, I'm done. I'm leaving. Bye. Gotta smoke.
Got to smoke. All right, chefs, have a good job. And just remember, two of you don't really have a shot at this, but it's fun to see you cook anyway.
All right. Thanks very much. You know, it's been a great journey for me.
It reminds me of why are we here? Because Tristan won this already. Okay. That was a good one. Okay, everybody. I'll be out. Bye.
Well, I know that if I don't win Top Chef, at least I have a chance at Last Quirk Kitchen. It's quirk.
So Tristan is like, I don't know if I'm going with monkfish or cod for my first course, but I'm going to treat them the same way. I'm just going to leave the cooking, all the fish to test tomorrow. So this could either work or could not work. We'll see. So Bailey is like, well, I just hope I can do it perfect. So, okay, let's see. What's going to happen tomorrow? We don't know.
I like Schwai saying, he's like, I'm really worried about my raviolo. Soup dumplings have always been my Everest. Chefs. So then, Tom is coming back in time. I just want to say something to all the finalists. After you're done, you get to come to have a special dinner. And to the rest of you, we left you some leftover eggs from the Hyatt Place breakfast. So enjoy your dinner tonight.
I like that they do this every year now. It's pretty cute. I do miss the Padma ones where she'd be like, okay, chefs, here's what I've prepared for everybody. It's a plate of my fingernails. I really don't eat dinner.
I had my dear friend, Ali Wong, prepare you all peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Enjoy.
I've steamed everybody some rice. Nothing else. Hope you enjoy it. Simple. Like to keep it simple, guys.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So they go to this Residenza Vignale where Tom is like he's like basting like a porchetta or something like that. He's always basting a big meat, and Gail is always making a salad. Every single year that they do this, Gail makes a salad and then makes some sort of like rustic dessert. And Tom always has a big protein. And Kristen this time she made like a little pasta thing and some broth or whatever. And Tom has his glasses on. Like, oh, welcome to our little dinner. We do still know how to cook. It is true, we know how to cook.
Yeah, and they serve their stuff. And Gail's like, yeah, salad, anchovy, and salad. Simple, simple, simple. Wow.
F for effort, Gail. Wow, you put two F's in effort. Jeez, Gail. That's worse than my fingernail plate. Jeez. Try.
Oh, by the way, I was speaking to Da Vinci and he said, wow, Gail, you really Michelangelo'd up that salad. He doesn't like Michelangelo. It was a diss, Gail. Sorry, I guess you have to be friends with... Maybe if you're friends with Renaissance people, you would understand like the nuances of that diss. But since you don't, I guess it just went over your head.
You know what? Monet just came up and said, wow, Gail's a real Monet. Isn't that rude? I think it's actually a compliment coming from Monet. It's not. It's not.
By the way, Klimt called. He said, stop biting my frames.
You really shouldn't eat those frames, Gail.
His was a legitimate complaint.
Pollock's just excited to see you try and make one of his pieces as you drip things all over your shirt all night.
By the way, Grandma Moses and I had a conversation.
I love
and
Grandma.
She says, she says she just disavows this entire season for so many different reasons.
Does she know how to make dumplings?
Schwa, stay out of it. You already stepped on my joke.
Oh my God.
So they're like, how does everything feel? You guys feel good? And they're like, great. And Gail's like, have you ever been to Milan before? And Billy's like, no. I mean, the northmost I've ever been is Emilia Romagna. You know, I didn't get on a plane till I was like 20. It was amazing. It's the quirkiest thing ever. It was like a bus, but then I started flying. I'm like, this is a quirky bus. I said, this is a plane, ma'am. And what?
The best part was how they had that video of Todrick Hall doing the safety instructions. I was like, this is a quirky video right here.
Well, the energy that you guys brought to this season, and I say this without an ounce of smoke blowing.
Well.
Based on the scent in that room, something was blowing.
Something's blowing. First day you walked into the kitchen, the three of us turned to each other and we said, Tristan's winning this. Am I right, guys?
We looked at each other and we're like, they've got the juju. Oh, really, Gail? Because every time you walk into a convenience store, you always say, they've got the Charleston chews.
They've got the juju and you've got the choo-choo. So Kristen's like, yeah, we're truly getting to know you by your food. But your personalities, they're just like, every time you come there, you have your personalities. And it's just such a joy because your people that say things and they're like, oh my God, Kristen, this is beautiful.
Don't ever lose that. Okay, don't lose that. Okay, earn this. Earn this. So Bailey's like, well, I like to keep it humble and a little bit quirky on the side. And I'm also really proud of what I've accomplished to get me here. I mean, there was the time I tried black and red fish for my old boss, and I was like, this is disgusting. I'm going to serve it in Top Chef. You know, it's a journey.
So now we get Gail's poached pear crostata. And Kristen's like, yeah, everybody's going to change their dessert. Wait, what'd she say? Everybody's going to change their dessert. What does that mean?
Kristen's like, well, everybody's going to change. No, she's saying like, this dessert is so good. It's so good. I know.
I see.
Everyone's going to change the dessert now. Okay. Because we're all here in this moment. I know what it's like to be a crostata folded over some fruit. It's tough, but you could do it. It's special.
So, Shreya's like, wow, this is still exciting for you guys after so many seasons. And it's like, Tom's like, absolutely not. You know, I get to mentor in a way a bunch of young people. And my book, Why I Cook. By the way, that's why I do this every season. Why I Cook. My book. Why I Cook my book. I didn't cook my book. It's just my book called Why I Cook. Why? You know what? I really never realized how difficult that would be to plug. We're going to change the name.
You know what I love? I love mentoring in a way. And by mentoring, I mean I walk into the kitchen, look at what you're doing about three times a season and go, huh? And then they say, what's wrong? And I go, I don't say. I don't. I can't. I'm not allowed to tell you what's wrong. That's the sort of mentorship that I think really is impactful.
Yeah, because Tom doesn't really mentor. He's not like Padma. I mean, well, no, he's not like a Tim Gunn. He's like, well, I wouldn't change those pounds. You know, he doesn't do that kind of thing. He's just like, well, I mean, what, is this how you normally do your rice? Huh, well, okay. Well, well,
all right.
Well, good luck.
Back to writing my book, Why I Cook. which is funny because you never see me cook on the show except for once a season when I baste a porchetta. So, so
my follow up book is going to be called Why I Bugma?
Bugma? You know, and Tristan's like, I mean, it's so amazing when you can be around so many people at the same exact goal, especially now in restaurants. Like, well, you know, you make that happen. You hire the people that you want to be there. You inspire them there. Well, you know, when I worked at Raquel, which was Thomas Keller's restaurant in the city, the conversation in the kitchen was never about what movie did you see or what bar are you going to or do you ever want to be a mixologist? Because if you ever said that, people would just laugh in your face because who would ever want to be a mixologist? I mean, only an idiot wants to be a mixologist.
All we talked about all day long, every second of our lives, was food.
Wow, tell me about it. I made the mistake of picking up the phone one time when Gail called.
Shwai's like, wait a second. So you didn't talk about your grandmother's? No, only food.
Gail's like, we are so proud of you. So they all give a cheers. And now it's time to go to Krakow. Whatever, Krakow. So Tristan is like, I mean, it's like the last day of Top Chef. So I've got senioritis, you know. It's like, you know, it's the last day of school. It's going to change your life forever. I don't know. Can I leave at lunch?
I'll tell you, when I had senioritis, I was like, I can't wait to skip class and make a root cake with a coconut veil. So then Tristan's like,
I've
okay,
senioritis well, right now. I can tell the rain's coming in my knees.
So Tristan is still having, he's like a Love Island, like he's like a Love Island fuckboy, still deciding between two bombshells. He's like, I don't know. Monkfish is easier to overcook. Cod has less texture. They're both my type on paper. Which one am I going to choose?
Which one of you is my people? So 6 minutes and Bailey's like, oh, I need to get a really nice char on that octopus and balance it with the creaminess of the mozzarella, which is cork overload. Watch out, corking coming through.
Although I think at one point Bailey is like very chefy and she's like, let's get a char on that octo and get the mozz ready. I'm like, it's octopus and mozzarella.
No, it's octo. Octo and Max.
Get that octo with the mozz. Can we get the octo with the mozz ready?
So the chefs come, or the judges come in, and Tom's like, well, you know, we know at this table, the most important thing once you get to a certain level is finding your own style, because you've got so much money, you really need to learn to dress better. Am I right?
Gail.
I didn't say that.
I did. Da Vinci did too. So did Pollock. So did Monet. So did Picasso. And that man really doesn't even care.
We all agreed. Gail is the worst. And then I said, exacto. So then Kristen's like, everyone, let me, to emphasize this, I'm going to play the piano with one hand on the table. And I'm just going to say, I think we're in for a really big treat, especially you, Claire. I think you're going to enjoy this. Claire, you're going to try to smile? No, that's okay. Okay. You don't have to smile.
I was like, this is miserable. This entire experience, Krakow, my asshole.
I would give back all three of my Michelin stars not to sit here for one second longer.
So now chefs are starting to plate food, and now Tristan decides with monkfish. He's like, I'm going with monkfish now because it's got a lobster texture. So it's a little late, but, you know, he gets it done, I guess. And Zubair is like, sauce directly on the fish. He's like, north of the fish. North of the fish, chef. North of the fish.
Yes, chef. So Bale, time to present. So Bailey's like, well, my menu is paying homage to the people that have influenced me, especially the quirky ones. And then I want to put a spin on their own food. So I want to play around with my first line cooking job from a Japanese background. It was called Benihana, and we had grilled octopus. So Gail, I'm going to ask you to open your mouth, and I'm going to just flip this octopus mozzarella ball into it. Oh, whoops, got you in the eye by accident. Sorry about that, Gail.
Wow, you missed her head, but somehow she ended up with an octopus on top of her head anyway. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that your hairstyle? Da Vinci's literally LOLing. That's when you're laughing out loud. Stupid Da Vinci.
He's very humorless, actually. So it's octopus, mozzarella, tomato dashi, and giardiniera. It's sort of like this star-crossed lovers situation. If those star-crossed lovers were quirky and not quirky, am I right? That's not going to work out.
The mozzarella just got left at a restaurant by the octopus, and it didn't know what it did wrong. Okay, well, that's enough about my love life. Enjoy it.
Congratulations, you've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers. Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're like, hey, wait a minute, I didn't hear part one. Guys, it's because we put out a lot of recaps. Go back and listen to part one, okay? It's before this one. Bye. Enjoy the show.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
She can run my country. It's Angie McGovern.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
She gets an A, it's Kelly B.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a B in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K sera sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
The Bay Area Betches. Bitches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
We're on the floor with Molly Dorsett.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Come on, shake your body, baby, do the Sydney Congdon.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.